Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Father God. Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father, we praise you. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have five Sundays in this month. That means on the 29th, we're going to have Fellowship Sunday. So you have a lot of time to think about what you're going to make and bring. All right. Folks, I don't know what it is. I was doing pretty good. I had a good prayer time this morning in here and everything. But just all on a sudden, it's like somebody took a bucket of water and threw it on my fire. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it happened. And one of the things I prayed for this morning, I said, Lord, let people come ready to worship. Let there be no fighting in the car, no argument, no disagreement, because usually when that happens, you bring it with you. And for some reason, somebody brought it with them. You know, my sermon today was going to be on Matthew chapter 12. And what keep coming to mind, it changed this morning. But as I stand here, I remember this scripture just keep coming back from what I was going to preach. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said to them, well, it really was the Pharisees that was inquiring. He says, God desire mercy more than really he desire sacrifice. And I remember I was talking to Ed this week and I was saying, Ed, you know, marriages, the reason why a lot of marriage don't work is because there's somebody in the marriage, one of the persons in the marriage is not operating in mercy. You have two people that not operating in mercy. Both of them have no mercy, so it dissolves. If you have one person that has mercy in a marriage, you find a marriage lasts and long. If both people are operating in mercy, it's a marriage for a lifetime. And one of the reasons we allow things to come into our life to bring, I guess, I don't know. Even this morning when I was, I am not this type of person. I can't even express. This morning, my spirit just wanted to cry. I don't know why. And this is not a man thing. This is a Holy Ghost thing. This is a spirit thing. Because we could get to the place where the spirit is grieved. And we don't understand why the spirit is grieved, but we know the spirit is grieved. But I'm going to give to you what I felt early this morning. I got a text this morning, and it said, I couldn't sleep last night, from a friend. And the text said something to the fact that I couldn't sleep last night because of fear. And when I got that text, I was saying to myself, I do have some fear. I don't know what your fears are, but I'm going to share with you my fear. You see, I really love I love seeing homes. I love going into a house and seeing the house. I love showing people the house. I've always been like, I remember when Jill and I, when we were dating, we would just drive in the car and look at houses. You know, just drive. I just love seeing different type of homes and what people are doing and how their yard look. And the best thing I love, you see a new mowed lawn, I just love to see it. And you see three or four homes in a row, I love it. So I love doing that. But one of the things you have to do in real estate, you have to pick up the phone and call people you don't know. I can't bring myself to do it. I have fear. I just can't. I don't know why. I can't. And then last week I said, you know what, I'll just see home for sales by owners and I'll go knock on the door. And I can't even bring myself to do it. Why? I'm afraid. I have fear. And that's in the natural. Some of us are dealing with fear in the spiritual. We are dealing with fear, and God wants us to be all we can. I remember when we started the year, God gave me the scripture for us for this year, which was, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And as I was in the office this morning, I have quite a few scriptures that God gave me, and I put little topics to them, but they may not even need a topic. Maybe I could just read them and we could go home. But seeing that I'm a preacher, I won't do that. First thing I want to say to you this morning, God has a plan for your life. Everybody that's here this morning, God has a plan for your life. What was ever going on in me, I went and looked for I have a binder that I don't have all the prophecies people had prophesied me over the year, but I have a few. And I went and I got that binder and I was reading it. I felt God want me to do that, and I did that. Some of you have gotten prophecies, and you know what God has for your life. Some of you, God has spoken to you personally, and you know what God has for your life. Some of you have no clue at all. Whichever category in it, you still have to spend time in prayer because you want to know you're doing God's will. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I know you. First thing I want you to know is God knew you before you were even born. Do you all realize that? God knew you before your parents even thought about getting married. God knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Do you know what God has for you? Now, the Bible doesn't say fear here, but here is the response. Here is how we respond when God is speaking and God is moving and God, it says, verse 6, our Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am only young. When God reveals to you his plan, don't look at yourself. Look at his power. I am living proof that God can take you from where you are and place you where he wants you to be. And then God says to him, do not say, I am only young. Young folks, young people, living your life in the will and the plan of God is not just for adults. It's not only an adult thing. You may say like me when I was young, when I get to such and such an age, I'll serve the Lord fully. I remember I used to say, God, I'll wait till I get married and all of that before I serve you. Like if God couldn't give me the wife that is best for me, like I know best. I wanted to wait. But God says we need to serve him from the beginning. And here it comes, verse 5. For to all to whom I send you will go, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. The reason why we don't have to walk in fear when we are walking in the plan and the will of God is because God says he will be with you. Jesus said, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. My another question, do you hear from God? Can you say today as a believer, yes, I can say I hear from God. Yes, I can say that I've heard the voice of God. This is what Jesus said. He says, my sheep knows my voice. What does that mean? That means that every sheep should recognize the voice of God. That means that God is speaking. And if God is speaking and you are part of his sheep, you will hear his voice. But I'll use Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. And God is speaking to Joshua. Verse 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Do you hear from God? Do you hear from God? He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then he gave him a little bit of encouragement. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. At the end, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Do you hear from God? You know, if I walked in fear in the area of my calling, I would do nothing. I remember I used to stand behind the pulpit and shake like a leaf. But I had some prophecies where God had spoken to me. I meant was to bring it and read it. And as I read them today, I realized I shouldn't be a person that's walking in fear. Because God said, not because I said, not because of the way I feel, not because of what somebody else said, not because of what the people do, it's because of what God said. My sheep hears my voice. They know my voice. God is saying to some of you this morning, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I read some of the prophecies. One said, and when you go back to your own people, you will not be a flash in the pan. I don't know if you understand that statement. That, you know what a flash in the pan is? A flash in the pan is if you're cooking something and you take some wine or whatever you take and you throw it in there and it flashes up and then it dies. That flash of fire only lasts for a little bit. I remember when I was going back to Trinidad, I was saying, Jesus, some people are going to know the lifestyle I had. Some people are going to know this. How am I going to? But as I look back, guess what? God's word is true. You know, I read one and it says, and when you go to Africa, going. Do you know this year I had an invitation to go to Africa? I didn't even know it was in one of the prophecies. I didn't even know that. All I know, and I got this prophecy years and years ago, and it says when you go to, you would go to Africa. Some of you may have had prophecies and you have them laying around. Go read them. You may find out that some of them has truly come to pass. Do you hear from God? And you know, I didn't only hear from God in prophecies. I was in Port Charlotte. And I wanted to go to school. I didn't have no money. I went and I did the application at the school and I went home. I don't know why I did that, but I did. And I'm praying, and time come for school to start. I can't go. I have no money to pay the people. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and God sent me to Psalm chapter 6. I read Psalms chapter 6 in my prayer time, and when I got up from that, I said, thank you, Jesus. You just showed me that I'm going to go to school. You just spoke to me, Lord. I woke up the next morning, I got a call from the principal. I didn't even tell the principal anything. The principal don't even know who I am. All she knew is that there was an application that was accepted and that person wasn't in class. And she said to me, come on down to the school, we have a scholarship for you. Do you hear from God? If you are a sheep of the Lord, you should be hearing from God on a regular basis. through a prophet, through the word of God, or even through the voice of God speaking. I was probably 17 years old, visiting my girlfriend in Trinidad. And I'm in her, she went to school. I was home in her living room, and I'm walking around, and I heard somebody call my name. Look around to see who it was. Nobody. And he said, "Garth, return." And I knew it was the Lord. And I knew it was my last opportunity to obey the voice of the shepherd. That night, I went to church. It was a Wednesday. And I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I haven't turned back since. You see, I was 12 years old when I walked through the marketplace and I gave my heart to the Lord. And that lasts for about 3 weeks. And then I lived my life however I wanted to live my life. And when I was 17, because I was part of the kingdom of God, God spoke to me. And he said to me, "Return, you, what I have done, I had abandoned my first love, and he, Jesus, he left the 99 and came after the one." Help me, Jesus. As one person said, take the wheel. Is God calling you into some kind of leadership position? Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh." When God said to me, "Go to college," my response was like Moses. Here is our response. God, I pray that if I hear God says, "Do this," I would not look at me, I'll just do it. I pray that. Think about it. Moses had a burning bush experience. You could imagine if I'm walking in on my property and I see some burning bush, and I go up to it, and then the Lord speak to me. I am hoping that settled it right there. I'm hoping that nothing would give me any kind of doubt, not even my abilities that I don't have. And Moses says this, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Some of you, God, are calling you to do certain things. I don't know what. He's speaking to your heart, and you're thinking to yourself, "Who am I that I should go?" Moses said, here's what Moses responded at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. "They will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they would say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" You know, we could find every excuse in the book when fear is around to keep us from doing what God calls us to do. Verse 10. "O Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since I have spoken, or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." I could be right there with Moses. And Moses had to be eloquent, because Moses was taught by the Egyptian best education, because he was part of royalty. And he is saying he's not eloquent. Boy, I don't have a chance. " I praise God today that I don't allow my inability to say the right word, my inability to pronounce it properly, to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. Some of us are looking at our ability and not looking at God's ability in you. The first thing we need to see, if God speaks to us, we need to see what God can do through us. We need not to be concerned of the things people say or will say. Here's what you need to do. Say what God is saying about you. Here's some of the things people say about themselves. I'm so stupid. I've said that. I don't have what it takes. That may be true. But if God calls you, he's seeing more than you're seeing. I'm such an idiot. Why did I say that? I feel so stupid. What is God saying about you? Do you know what God is saying about you? Or you are only repeating what you feel about yourself? And the angel of the Lord, Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And here, and here he says, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then? If the Lord is with us, why then? If the Lord is with us, why then? Why is the church the way it is if the Lord is with us? Why aren't we seeing miracles if the Lord is with us? Why, Lord, if the Lord is with us, why is it? We always have something. And we could always find something to show that, hey, God is not with us." And then when we look at circumstances, we look at self. And we say, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel?" Verse 15. "Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my father's house." Judges chapter 6, verse 15. "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh." I'm saying it wrong. Hallelujah. "And I am the least in my father's house." Brothers, sisters, friends, I could have said those same words. Oh, he's up there. The brothers that, my brothers above me, the one right above me and the one right under me, smart. When I say smart, smart. I was the one that wasn't going anywhere. In fact, I did not, they don't have that here. I didn't pass common entrance, so I didn't get to go to high school. They went to high school, and the system in the English system is they got subjects. It's not like how they do it here, you get a certificate. The more subjects you have, the higher standard you have. So everybody who went to high school didn't have the same I don't know how to put it. Everybody here who goes to high school, they have a certificate. It all counts for the same. When you go to the system we have, they look at your certificate because it's according to how many subjects you have. And they had some subjects. I had none. I was the weakest of the clan. And I was the least in my father's house. But I have learned in my lifetime to say what God is saying about me. He said to Gideon, "You are a mighty man of valor." When God spoke to Gideon, Gideon should have said, "I got it." I pray that when God speaks to you and he shows you who you are, you would say, "I got it." But our problem is fear a lot of the times. And many times with fear, I do what God has called me to do. And this week I'm going to try to conquer one of my fears just so that I can tell you all next week that even with fear, I went and do what I was afraid to do. Because the only way you're going to conquer any fear in your life is to face it with Jesus by your side. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Woo-hoo! I told Lance this morning. I said, "Lance, I want you to come with me because I'm afraid to knock on doors by myself. I need somebody." And I said, "We'll go together. We'll knock on doors." I said, "I have to knock on a door." In fact, I drove by on my street this morning and I saw a sign in front of a house that says, "For sale by owner." That's my first fear over that I'm going to conquer, is because this evening I'm going to walk over to that house. I'm going to knock on the door and I'm going to tell them I live up the street and I do have a realtor license and I want to see if I could help you in any way I can. Because I don't want fear to stop me from what God has for me. Because sometimes we have to conquer fear in just the normal things we do so we could learn how to conquer fear when it comes to the spiritual things we have to do. And I don't want man to stop me, to let me not get all that God has for me. You know, Saul could have been one of the greatest king. It could have been Saul's name wherever you saw David. Do you know that? It could have been Saul we're talking about. It could have been Saul, God said, the man after my own heart. It could have been Saul. He already was walking in the position. He already had the crown on his head. He was over the tribe of Israel. But Saul let the fear of the enemy and the people, what they were saying, make him do stuff he shouldn't be doing. And Saul did not live to his full potential because of fear. The only fear that we should have is the fear of the Lord. If Saul had the fear of the Lord, we had been reading more about Saul and Jonathan. But because Saul feared man and feared the enemy more than he feared God, I believe, Scripture didn't tell me this, I believe he did not live up to his full potential. And some of you will not live up to your full potential because you let fear arrest your life. But the only fear that should be in your life should be the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, today, Lord God, we look once again at your word. And Father, we want to understand fully how to live our lives in such a way that fear will not be an instrument of destruction or an instrument to lead us off the track or an instrument to keep us from what we need to be and need to be doing for your kingdom. So, Father, let us look at some of these examples and let us know that you knew us before we were even born. You knew us before our mother and father got together and had children. And you have a plan for our lives. And when we come to you, you speak to us. And because we are your sheep, we hear your voice. Father, let us get to the place, oh God, that we say the things you are saying about us. Let us realize that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you have given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, Father, when we leave this place today, we may have come in this house with a lot of fear. But when we leave, let us leave with a lot of faith. We have come in this house with a lot of fear. But when we leave, let us leave with a lot of love. We may have come in this place, oh God, with a lot of fear, but when we leave, oh God, let us leave with a sound mind, knowing, oh God, that we don't have to fear man. We have to fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So, Father, this morning we submit our lives to you. And we say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go and be blessed.